Thank you, Mr. Creech. Good morning to you all. Happy Sabbath. Are you done with the snow yet? It sure is pretty to look at. And I have to admit, I was almost envious looking at the pictures coming out of New York. Just think, no school, no work. You could play in the snow if you were 12 feet tall. Next week, we will see each of us probably scenes. And depending on how traditional they are, it will include a number of dishes. Mashed potatoes, gravy, there'll be a bird or the remnants of a bird. On the table, corn, there will be biscuits, maybe cornbread, stuffing, breadcrumbs or cornbread. What do we have around here? Both. Maybe. Green beans, sweet potatoes, which I was unsure of. They were ambiguous with the crust of the pralines on it. Is it for the main course? Is it for dessert? If I have it with turkey, am I cheating myself from dessert? The marshmallow stuff, the pink goo, and then the pies. Apple pies, the pumpkin pies, the pecan pies. What a feast. What a scene for us to see. A passage that I recently read reminded me of these tables that we'll be sitting in front of this next coming week. It's from the book of Psalms. Let me read it for you. It's one of the imprecatory Psalms. Psalm 69:22 reads, "Let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap." I read it out of the New Living Translation. It gives a slightly different shade. That rendering is, "Let the bountiful table set before them become a snare, and their prosperity become a trap." So the bountiful Thanksgiving table that we look at next week can be a metaphor for our lives, for what God has furnished in our lives, and can either be a blessing or can be a trap, depending on the attitude that we have for that particular table. So for the sermonette this morning, what I'd like to do is look at three aspects of godly thankfulness. Three aspects of godly thankfulness as we sit at the bountiful Thanksgiving table. Turn with me, please, to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. I'm sure many don't have to read it. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Have you ever given a gift that turns out not to have been received with thankfulness? It's received and it's not really what I wanted. Or I already have one of these. Or have you ever received a gift and found out that the sweater is the wrong size? That maybe this gift purchased from the store, it has a hole in it right in the front. Of course, it couldn't be on the tail that gets tucked in. It's right in the front. It's no longer a perfect gift that we then have to take back to the store. Not with God. It says here, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." When God gives us gifts, it is a time for us to realize our dependence on Him. The gifts that we receive, we can't really furnish for ourselves. And it's easy for a person to fall into the trap of, "Look what I've done for myself. Look what I have created. Look what I have become worthy of." But not so. Godly thankfulness realizes dependence on God, where our gifts come from, where our food comes from, who provided the rain for the grass to grow, for the turkey to eat so that we could eat the turkey, for example. So one aspect of godly thankfulness is dependence. We're dependent on God. A second aspect is abundance. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, 17. of 1 Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. So affluence may be restricted to this present age. We don't know. However, those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Riches here are identified or highlighted as being unreliable. They're uncertain. But rather in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. When God gives us something, he does so richly. Have you ever seen pictures or witnessed someone giving a gift and you can tell they really didn't want to give it? Because when they turn it over, they're not letting go. And the person receiving is trying to tug it out of their hands. That's not the case with God. He gives us richly for our enjoyment. We think about the feast that we'll be enjoying next week. There's more to it than just the food, isn't there? God gives us the capacity to see the colors of it, the gold of the corn, the emerald green of the beans, the tan on the color of the skin of the turkey. There's the texture of the food. There's certainly the smell of the food. See, God gives us the ability to appreciate what has been given to us far beyond what we might initially look at. All these little extras that add to our enjoyment are not necessary for us to be fed. But God gives extras, and so he does with other elements that he gives in our lives. When God gives us, he gives abundantly. And when we are thankful, we need to be thankful for that abundance. A third area of godly thankfulness is humility. Humility. Let's take a look in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. I don't know about you. I inhabit my house. And certainly not eternity. It's hard for us to grasp eternity, what is infinite, thinking in any direction, you can keep going and you'll never get to the end of it. That's infinite. It says here, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Whenever we drive past a cemetery, the lives of those who are buried there are summarized in the hyphen between the two dates. That's it. Not so with God. He inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. His very name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Who with? Who does God dwell with? From heaven, he dwells with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We're not talking about people going to heaven when they die. However, God is attuned to those who are humble with a contrite heart and will visit them. When he sees those on earth who are humbled, he visits them. He strengthens them. Not so with the haughty. King Nebuchadnezzar learned that the hard way, didn't he? When gloating over the vast kingdom that he had built, God had to remind him, no, it wasn't you. You need to learn humility, and he did. It's in circumstances where we realize our dependence on God, when we realize how much abundance he gives us, far beyond what we have earned. They're not wages. He gives us beyond what we have earned. Then we can have a sense of humility, not so that we can be puny, not so that God can put us in our place, not so that he can trample us underfoot, but we just can't help but identify, because of how big he is, how small we are. and how special it is for him to share all those blessings with us. James chapter 4 says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." How contrary that is to our society today, where there is entitlement, where there is me first, this is mine. Not so with godly thankfulness. When we look at the table spread before us next week for Thanksgiving, I would encourage us all to look at it as a symbol of the blessings in our lives, not just for the food that we have, which is important. We need it on a daily basis, but as a symbol of all the things that God gives us. Certainly abundance in the Holy Spirit, dependence on him for our very lives. Just fast for a while, see how dependent we are on him. And as we give thanks and express our thanks to the Creator, let us do so, realizing our dependence on him, thanking him for the abundance that he gives us, and have an appropriate humility so that our bountiful table is a table of blessings.